Joining us now is licensed marriage and family therapist Doug Hinder to talk about the importance of setting goals for next year as a married couple. Doug's passion is working with couples to help them live the married life that God intended from the beginning. Doug's been married for 40 plus years to his incredible wife, Shirley. They have 9 children and 5 grandchildren. Good morning, Doug. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you once again.
Same here, John. Thanks for having me on.
Doug, why is it important to take some time here at the end of the year and set some goals as a married couple?
Yeah, you know, planning is important for success in anything you do in life, right? And, you know, the old saying, if you don't plan, then you plan for failure. So, there's nothing we do in life that's more important than our marriage, and yet oftentimes we leave it to chance. You know, we don't plan it. We don't get actively involved in managing it. And so, you know, I ask couples often, listen, is your marriage the same today as it was 5 years ago? And they say, well, no, it's not. Well, will your marriage be the same 5 years from now that it is today? Well, no, probably not. Well, this marriage you'll have 5 years from now, are you going to leave it to chance, or will you make it the result of conscious intent? And can you set a plan in place today that's going to take you through the future that's going to, assure a strong, happy, and healthy marriage? And so if we plan it, I think we can be assured that we can have a really good, happy marriage going forward.
Doug, when you talk about goals, you're talking about looking ahead to 5 years, but what type of goals should we break it down to a much smaller time range?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I think there's 2 suggestions on what we can do now. You know, we're in Advent, right? It's the season for preparation. And so a couple things we do now to prepare for starting marriage. So I'd say 2. One, there are specific things we can do ourselves that will improve our marriages, independent of our spouses. Whether or not they want to make the marriage better, we can all by ourselves do things to make the marriage better. So I think we could set some goals around that. And then the second thing, things you and your spouse can do together in terms of joint resolutions to strengthen and build your marriage in the coming year. So I think, the first thing to realize is behaviors trigger emotions. So there is literally nothing you can do or say that won't trigger an emotion on the part of your spouse. Now, oftentimes these emotions that get triggered are so insignificant we're not even consciously aware of them. But sometimes we are, especially the negative ones. We're pretty conscious of the times we get irritated or annoyed or angry with our spouse. And so I think individually, if we change our behaviors, that will change our spouse's emotions. And if we can remove negative emotions from our spouse and replace them with positive ones, that will improve our marriage.
So it brings up the question, how do you change that behavior? It's got to be more than just willpower. Maybe from a spiritual perspective, the importance of tapping into prayer and asking the Lord for help to please help me to be kinder to my spouse.
Yeah, not just our Lord, but our guardian angels. I think our guardian angels can be very powerful allies for us, and to invoke not only our angel, but our spouse's angel to help, especially in times of conflict, I think is important. But I think, the first thing is to, and prayerfully, I think, identify those things that, that I'm doing that's triggering negative emotions in my spouse. And those generally would fall, I think, into 2 broad categories. Excuse me. The first would be, criticisms, pointing out our spouse's faults, using harsh words, rolling our eyes when they say something to us, or these non-word utterances, we kind of grunt or groan when they say something. So criticisms generally trigger negative emotions. And then defensiveness, when I'm trying to prove I'm right and you're wrong, and, trying to win every argument, every disagreement. And if you win the argument, you do it by defeating the person who you love most in the world. And is that really what we want to do? Do I want to win at the price of really hurting my wife? I think not. And so, yielding cheerfully, I think it matters a personal preference. But, identify what I'm doing that's triggering my spouse negatively, and stopping those things is the first part.
Doug, in your work, how much have you seen the effects of criticism? Couples talking about, my husband is criticizing me all the time about this, this, and that, or my wife is constantly criticizing me. How dangerous can this constant criticism be, almost like a poison to a marriage?
Oh, it is. It's absolutely a poison to a marriage. And it's probably the most common thing we do wrong. And oftentimes it comes, I think, from a mistaken place of love. Like, so, you know, I love you, which is why I'm telling you how screwed up you are so that you'll get better. But if we know that if criticism actually helped the other person improve, we'd all be married to perfect people. In about a year, we would just criticize all their defects. They would change everything and they'd be perfect and we'd be perfectly happy. So we just know that criticism doesn't work, but it's like the water dripping on the rock. It just slowly erodes the marriage and causes a lot of damage. Now, the solution to this, right, at first is quit criticizing because it doesn't work anyway. But number two is identify whatever negative emotions that we have towards our negative feelings we have towards our spouse and replace them with positive ones. So, you know, I reference often Dr. John Gottman, he's the number one researcher in marriage. And he researched on thousands of couples. What he found was that for your partner to feel loved and respected and appreciated, they need to hear 20 positive things from you for every one negative. That's a big ratio, right? You got to do 20 good things to undo one criticism that you level. And so you've got to, the way to do that is catch your spouse doing something right and acknowledge it. So look for your spouse to do something right, whatever it is, you know, putting the dishes in the dishwasher or just playing with the baby or smiling at the baby, right? So find them doing things right. Make a list of everything that you like about your spouse, everything you appreciate, every good quality they have. Make a list about that and look at that list often. Crowd out the negatives with an abundance of the positives. And one of the good things, John, if you do that, if you make that list, you know, go off to the store, buy a box of these, you know, these little greeting cards, right? They're blank on the inside, outside they got some hot air balloons or some rainbows or something. But write down in each one of those cards one thing you really like about your spouse. And then leave it 2-3 times a week. Leave it in front of the coffee pot or by the mirror in the bathroom or on the seat of the car. So when they're going through their day, all of a sudden they'll bounce into this card, they open it, and you'll say, hey, just want you to know I really appreciate what a great mother you are, what good care you take of our children. And that's a good way to crowd out the negative with an abundance of the good. One other idea on this regard is, keep a gratitude journal. Keep a journal of all the things you're thankful for with your spouse. And there's great research out there now that where they've asked control groups to, one, you know, just go through life, you know, keep a gratitude journal, and they measure how happy they are, you know, 60 days down the road. And people with a gratitude journal always score much higher in general happiness than people who don't. So keep the abundance of good thoughts coming, and that crowds out the negative thoughts.
These are all fabulous ideas, Doug. I love the idea of keeping a journal and listing all the positives, because it's so easy to focus on the negatives, the little criticism things, and forgetting about all the pluses, all the wonderful blessings that one may have from your spouse.
Yeah, and I, you know, and that's just it, right? And the negatives are just so much more powerful than the positives. And so the temptation is, over time, we fall into what Gottman calls a negative sentiment override, right? Just kind of look at you through a negative lens. And, you know, we find what we look for. And if I decide, man, you know, you're just, you know, I don't like you quite as much anymore, well, I find reasons to reinforce that. But if I decide you really are a great person, well, I find reasons to reinforce that. So look for the positives and you'll find them in your spouse.
We're joined this morning by Doug Hinder, licensed marriage and family therapist. We're talking about the importance of setting and aligning goals for the upcoming year as a married couple. And Doug, you're giving us some really good practical advice. What about setting those goals as we get ready to start the new year?
Yeah. So as a couple, here's the deal. When I ask couples this, listen, are you willing to make a 1% investment in your marriage every day? Just a 1% investment. And every couple says, of course, 1%, I can do that. Well, 1% comes out to about 15 minutes of your day. And successful couples can often find they just carve out 15 minutes a day to sit and get to know each other at a deeper level. Now, no phones, no TV, no children, just the two of you together working on your marriage. And I know what some of your listeners are probably thinking, John. They're thinking, what will I possibly talk about for 15 minutes? That could be the quietest 15 minutes of my day. But it doesn't have to be the case, right? So the idea is develop a curiosity about your spouse's world, right? Ask lots of questions about what's going on in your world. What are you doing? What are you feeling? You know, what are your fears? What are your joys? What are your hopes? You know, ask a lot of questions. Tell me what's going on in your inner world, in your thoughts, right? So I can be a part of that, right? And then some goals. You know, what kind of life do we want to live next year? And what kind of life do we want to have in 5 years? And think about it in terms of, I think, family culture. What kind of culture do we want to have in our family? What kind of traditions? You know, what does Saturday morning look like for us? And what does Sunday morning look like for us? And off to church as a family, and then dad cooks breakfast while mom gets to read the paper and have a slower morning. And what are those traditions that we want to build, into our family life? And again, you use this time to affirm, to compliment, to praise your wife, your husband, what I really appreciate about you and what's so special about you and how grateful I am that God brought you into my life and how blessed I am in our marriage. And so it's just time to affirm, compliment, and get to know each other at a deeper level. 1% a day, and that's the secret sauce.
What have you found in your experience when you suggest this to couples? Do couples think it's a great idea? Do some couples feel like, hey, how am I going to spend 15 minutes when I don't have 5 minutes? I'm so busy.
Yeah, that's the toughest thing, right? That everybody says this is a great idea, and every couple struggles to find the 15 minutes. And especially if you've got young kids. It's really hard if you've got toddlers and young kids. When they get a little bit older, you can say, hey, listen, just, you know, your mom and I are going to go into this room and sit and have a conversation. You guys stay out. But when they're young, it's really hard. And so what I tell couples is, listen, if you can only do 5 minutes, do five. You know, 5 minutes of me listening to you tell me why you love me and you hearing why I love you, that's pretty good. And if you can move it up to 10, do that. But with 15 being the ultimate goal. But don't say, boy, I don't have 15 minutes, I'm not going to do it. If you got 2 minutes, take 2 minutes just to look at each other, tell each other that you love each other, and come up with one really good thing that you appreciate.
I'm reminded of our Relevant Radio CEO, Father Rocky, in his marriage insurance book, recommended that married couples should go on a date at least once a week. Just go out and spend some time together. Kind of sort of in the same spirit as this idea of spending 15 minutes per day together.
Yeah. So So the secret sauce is, as I talk about it, consists of three ones: 1% a day, one date night a week, and one weekend getaway a year. And I think in Father Rocky's book, he talks about the date night, and I think he talks about the weekend getaway too. It's been a little while since I've read his book, but that's the deal: 1, 1, and 1. So 1% a day, one date night a week, and the date night doesn't have to be, you know, a $200 dinner in a fancy restaurant. The date night can be a trip to, you know, the ice cream shop, or it can just be a walk around the park. So it doesn't have to be a big elaborate thing. But the key is you've got to do the date night right. The date night is not about logistics. It's not about who's taking this kid to piano lessons and that kid to soccer lessons and who's paying the bills. It's about you and me and why I love you. That's what it's about. So the logistics, do not talk about logistics on the date night.
The goals that we're talking about here, specific goals that are meaningful to both members of a married couple. Can you give us a couple of examples of some goals, realistic goals that one should try to talk about?
Yeah, I think, you know, goals about family life, right? Goals about how much time are we going to spend with the kids? Goals, especially I would like to see goals around dinner time, which is the most important time of the day for the family, and goals around Sundays, because there are so many demands placed on our time that it's easy to rob family time in order for these outside commitments. And I think goals around what to say no to, We have to know what to say no to, or else we get overwhelmed with all of the outside commitments. So what are we going to stop doing in the coming year that we're doing now that's robbing us of the time we spend together as a family? I think it's a really good place to start.
I think at the end of the day, the end game is to get our spouse to heaven. Their goal is to get us to heaven. So I think from that spiritual perspective, everything else flows.
I agree. Right. And what can we do as a family to deepen our faith, right? And to help our kids fall in love with this unbelievable God that we have.
Absolutely. Tell us where our listeners can go for much more at your website.
Sure. It's happymarriageforlife.com. One word, happymarriageforlife.com.
happymarriageforlife.com. Doug, thank you so much for being with us. Many blessings the rest of the way here during Advent.
Thanks for having me on, John. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.